O God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who among us is not carrying burdens these days? With Tyler working in healthcare, I've been home with the girls for nearly 4 months. And while most of that time has mostly been wonderful, we're all craving a sense of normalcy. We're disconnected from friends and family. We're troubled by this pandemic, in which we are right back at the beginning with cases rising out of control. And many fear that we have squandered our chance to get ahead of this virus. That's a burden and a half to be carrying. And this pandemic has disrupted our economy and lives. The social fabric of our nation is coming apart at the seams as we are having necessary but very difficult conversations about race, as we're fighting with those who refuse to wear masks, as we're gearing up for a major election season. These really are heavy burdens that we are carrying these days. And personally, I can tell you all that this is a hard time for me. Though I am an introvert, I'm ready for some social events. More than that, though, something they tell you in seminary is that one of the most important jobs that a priest has is to love their congregation. And I do. I really do love you all, both as the collective St. Luke's, but also as individuals. I care deeply about each of you because I believe at my core that the love of God in Jesus Christ has the power to lead us all into God's peace and joy. And more than anything, I want each of you to know that love. It's a vocation I take very seriously. And so it hurts that I haven't seen many of you in months. We so often say that church is a family, and it is, a beloved community. So this separation is hard. One of the burdens that I am carrying is that we are disconnected from each other. I don't know how you all are doing in the same way that I used to when I was seeing you regularly. And to be completely honest, I know that some of the sermons back in June had some hard truths in them. Being socially separated leads to the burden of a lot more anxiety for clergy, wondering how their congregations may have shifted during this difficult and tumultuous time. So the question this morning is, what do we do with all of these burdens that we are carrying? The obvious wrong answer is that we carry these burdens ourselves. For one, that's not God's intention. St. Paul writes in Galatians, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And in the beginning, Adam and Eve were created to be helpers to one another. We are a community, and so carrying our burdens alone ignores who we were created to be, and it robs the body of functioning as it should. And secondly, we simply cannot carry our burdens alone. Yes, we just celebrated Independence Day yesterday, but we are not meant to be independent because God has made us to be interdependent. As Martin Luther King wrote, "All life is interrelated. We are all caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied together in a single garment of destiny." This is what underlies the theology championed by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Ubuntu, the idea that I am because you are. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what God intends for you to be. Or as the English priest and poet John Donne put it, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of a continent, a part of the main. St. Paul says, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And Jesus prays that we might all be one, as he and the Father are one. The problem stems from a largely Western misunderstanding of what freedom means. As we are seeing in our society, as people question what impinges upon their freedom and what does not, the standard American understanding of freedom is being able to do whatever you want. And in that sense of freedom, words like obedience, accountability, and mutuality are dismissed as being tyrannical or antithetical to freedom. But that sort of understanding of freedom is actually slavery. St. Paul writes in a well-known passage, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, for I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that whenever I want to do good, evil lies close at hand. Freedom is nothing more than being captive to those sinful and selfish desires if we think that freedom is doing whatever we want. And the reason why none of us are truly free is that we are always accountable to God and by extension to one another. Now, we can reject those relationships, but that doesn't make us free, just negligent. One of the foundational sins of our society is the emphasis on the individual. From the marriage liturgy, we hear, those whom God has joined together, let no one put asunder. That's true for a married couple, but it's also true for all of us. God has joined us all together, and any ideologies or philosophies that separate us are ungodly. One of the reasons why this emphasis on freedom is so unhealthy is that it makes us take everything personally. As a people, we are so easily offended. And yet it seems that when matters that affect all of us, issues like poverty come up, they almost don't even register. And what we do with this anger is often dangerous. In Jesus and the Disinherited, Howard Thurman writes about the dangers of rage. While there is such a thing as holy anger, it's a very, very dangerous thing. He notes that anger quickly turns to hatred, and hatred dries up our imaginations, makes us always see the negative, and it consumes everything around us. Because the thing about anger is that it rarely stays with its intended target. Anger spills over into our marriages, our jobs, our friendships, and even our faith. And isn't this what we're seeing all around us? Anger that is spilling over as we always focus on how things make us feel, or as we run into points of view that we might disagree with? Yes, anger can be a holy emotion, but anger very rarely is a holy motivation. And our focus on freedom and the individual leads us to take ourselves more seriously than we ought to. Jesus was speaking about his own generation, but it applies to ours as well. We are like children sitting in the marketplaces, calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. In other words, we are not responding to the call of the gospel because it doesn't suit us. So instead of attempting to carry our burdens alone, which only leads us to frustration, weariness, and isolation from one another, what might we do with these burdens that we are carrying? Well, Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us and to learn from him. His yoke is gentle, easy, and light, and it will give us rest. Or using a phrase that I use often, being yoked to Jesus is about going with the grain of the universe. A yoke is a collar of sorts that two animals wear so that as they pull the wagon or the plow, they do it together and they share the weight. But in this yoke, Jesus is the one that's going to do the heavy lifting. Being yoked to Jesus, he will lead us into abundant life where we can experience the true freedom of God's grace. And more than anything, that is what I long to do as a priest, to help people get yoked to Jesus so that they might know of his love and mercy. When it comes to understanding what the Christian notion of freedom is, it's all about being yoked to Jesus. Actually, this morning's collect gives us an insight into Christian freedom. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Freedom is not doing whatever we want. Again, even if we could do whatever we wanted, Romans reminds us that we would end up messing that up because the good that we want to do is not what we would end up doing. Instead, freedom is about being freed from the shackles of sin, from worrying about whether or not we are good enough, from the finality of death. Freedom is about being free to be who we are created to be, the beloved children of God, who find their meaning and their purpose when we love God and our neighbors as ourselves. We are created out of love and we are destined for love. Freedom is about being released from whatever holds us back from flourishing in that love. And sometimes what we need to be freed from is ourselves and our inwardly focused perversions of freedom. And in thinking about what freedom means for a people who just celebrated the 4th of July, the collect for the nation in the prayer book prays, "Give to the people of our country a zeal for justice and the strength of forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will." Freedom, or liberty, is about being obedient to God's will for justice and peace. So how do we get yoked with Jesus? It really does come down to how we view ourselves. Do we put up barriers to God and others as we strive to be the best versions of our individual selves? Or do we leave ourselves open to deep relationships with others? Some people would say that our society is divided right now between liberals and conservatives, but I don't think that analysis is right. It's easy to find hypocrisy on both sides, which is just to say that liberals are not always liberal and conservatives are not always conservative. Those distinctions are not at the heart of our debates and disagreements. Instead, what really divides us comes down to how we understand ourselves in relationship to others. Or in the language of freedom, is freedom for ourselves or is it for others? See, our divisions are not between conservatives and liberals or Democrats and Republicans. No, our divisions are rooted in the divide between individualists and corporatists, between those who think that freedom is about them and those who know that freedom is about love. And I use that word corporatist very intentionally, and I hope it's clear that that's the side that I strive to follow as I do my best to be yoked to Jesus and the body of Christ. But of course, the good that I want to do is not often what I actually do, and so I rely on God's grace and mercy. Being a corporatist, though, is what it means to be a Christian. As you might know, the word corporate, and I'm not talking about businesses or corporations here, but at the root of that word corporate is corpus, which means body. Christians are members of the body of Christ, corporatists. So by seeing ourselves as members of one another, as being united in Christ, as all being held together in the limitless love of God, we find the yoke of Christ that gives rest to our souls. In a well-known passage, St. Paul describes what it looks like to be unburdened in Christ. He writes, "Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." And this is most clearly seen in the act which is at the very center of the church's mission and identity, the Holy Eucharist. It is where the hungry are fed, the sinful find forgiveness, and the joyful celebrate. And at the center of the Eucharist is the corpus, the bread, which is for us the sacramental presence of Christ's body. And what that corpus reminds us of is the body of Christ that hung on a cross, given for the life of the world, out of love for the world. That is where true freedom comes from. As sins are forgiven, death is defeated, and all-surpassing love is proclaimed. I know that we can't gather in the flesh to receive the Eucharist today, and that is difficult. But Christ's invitation to each of us is just as valid. Come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, take the Lord's yoke of love upon you and find rest for your souls.